brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here. And if you're listening around the time of release, we are in January 2026, so a very happy new year if you're listening in the present day. 30 years since the release of Warhammer Fantasy Battles 5th edition, as far as I could see. 30 years since 1996. Instead of 2026, let's just refer to this as 1996 plus 30. And of course, because it's the start not just of a new year, but the start of a new month, it's time for one of our hobby update episodes. So I'm really glad to say that we got a lot of good clips submitted throughout the month of December, and we're going to get into those right now and just find out what everyone's been up to.
Good day, Matthew, and the rest of the Bedroom Battlefields crowd. This is Josh in Massachusetts, calling in for the December update. I think I missed the November response. So going back to October, I'm still working on my conquest. I have my Nords looking for some love and some more paint. But unfortunately, I have reached over and picked up some of the new Weaver Courts, which are their wood elves with weird mutations army that I'm looking to get on the table hopefully this month and use some of my hobby time over the holidays to assemble. For Manta games, I'm still playing the Plague in Warpath, and that's going really well. I'm just about ready to switch over to the Assyrians as my next project. I'm really enjoying that game from Mantic. And then coming up in the end of January, we have a local convention in Rhode Island called Captain Con. I'll be TOing some conquests there, but I'm really looking forward to doing a few small games, including Relic Blade by Sean Sutter. I picked up some new models for that, as well as Blackout, a little modern or near future skirmish game with only 8 to 12 models per side, as well as been distracted a little bit by card games. Ashes Ascendancy just dropped on Kickstarter, as well as I've been playing some Star Wars Unlimited. So my hobby time has been divided a little bit more between card games and miniature games, which has resulted in a little bit less paint on the models. But I'm trying to not stress about that. It's a hobby. The enjoyment factor should be whatever we're enjoying at that time. And instead of stressing about unfinished models, I'm enjoying the learning new games, learning new rules. I'm looking forward to putting some of these games on the table at the convention at the end of January. Hope everybody has a good holiday and look forward to hearing everyone else's responses. Thank you.
Hi, Matthew. It's Rob here. A strange thing happened this morning. I went out the front of the house to water my sunflowers, and I found a note pinned to my front door with a small knife. It was written in a childlike scrawl, but as best as I could decipher it, this is what it said. Pay us the sum of $1 million in unmarked notes. Otherwise, we will build an 8-foot by 5-foot gaming table. We will print and paint 19 500-point warbands for Warhammer Fantasy 6th edition. We will work our way through the official Games Workshop campaign books up until the end times without changing rules from 6th edition. We are a small group of friends who are keen to help with the painting and the playing as we escalate from 500 points to who knows how many by the end times. We are serious. No cops.
Hello, Matthew and podcast listeners. This is Johan, TEG Jeeves on the Discord, calling in for my December hobby update. And overall, it was a fairly productive month, as far as I can tell. If I look over some of my notes for this month, one big project I got stuck in the beginning of the month is really, is my Gothic Ruins that I really knew I had to put a significant amount of work in. So I took a couple of days and I hammered out as much of that painting as I could. As I said before, I really don't like painting terrain, but I know once I have these done, they will have many uses. So I am excited to have them done. I still have probably a few more days worth of painting left, but I am making some good progress. So at least I got a ways in with those. To sort of tie in with terrain, I spoiled myself a little bit for Christmas, I guess. Christmas gift from myself to myself. and I got myself a 3-foot by 6-foot battle mat, which is reversible. One side is a sort of grassy terrain and the other one's a desert terrain, very much like, you know, the Gothic ruins. I know if once I have that, I'd be able to use it for many different games. So excited to have that. And it covers basically my gaming table. It just about covers it, which is, you know, about the size of most of the games that I'll be playing. I wouldn't really be playing many large 40K games. So skirmish games and smaller is what I need it for. So that's perfect. I'm happy to have that. On the painting side, I painted 4 miniatures for the game called Wild Watch, which is a 3D printable skirmish game. Now, I'm not really going to play the actual game, but I did really like the miniatures as they are anthropomorphic animals. They are birds. They are these cats, turtles. What are the other ones? Bugs. And one more that then there's one that's like bears and badgers. And they are sort of steampunk. They got a bit of a steampunk aesthetic, which is really cool. And you're very unique. And I really fell in love with the look of them. And so I had to print them out. And it's been fun painting them. Probably use them for something like Space Weirdos or maybe Song of Blades and Heroes. In any case, moving on, I've had 15 millimeter dwarfs painted or printed out for quite some time. And my idea was to play something like Fantastic Battles or some other large scale fantasy games using 15 millimeter. I've been interested in getting into that scale. And dwarfs are sort of easy to do as they're, you know, sort of nice and small and chunky and easy to paint. So I started getting to them. And what better models to start with than the good old Troll Slayers? So I painted 3 companies worth of Troll Slayers, which turned out pretty good. I'm very happy with how they turned out. Yeah, and I think that was most of what I've been painting. You know, I haven't really been doing all that much. I painted a Tyranid of my many Tyranids, just to do something a little bit different, going for an old aesthetic, retro Tyranid aesthetic, you know, dark red or bold reds and greens and blues. And then lastly, I received a copy of Blitz Bowl, which is sort of the smaller, quicker brother of Blood Bowl. As I knew, Blood Bowl was something that is a deep rabbit hole to go down, and I don't know if I have the time and commitment for something as big, but Blitz Bowl is definitely something that is probably more my speed. So yeah, I got that, and I'm excited to get to learn and play that with my group. So yeah, that's my hobby update for December. And once again, thank you for doing the podcast, Matthew, and for everybody else's contributions. Always nice listening to everyone's hobby updates. And Merry Christmas, and hope you all have a great 2026. Bye-bye.
Hi, it's Dave here with Hobby Updates for December. So the Christmas haul has included a good lot of Lord of the Rings minis. So we'll be looking at doing taking the Hobbits to Isengard campaign. They'll just make up as we go along. Into the next year then, we have also expanded our Warhammer Fantasy Battle Dwarfs with a couple of handy units just for filling out the core troops, and that's looking like a usable force now. I've also bit the bullet and gone for some new rules for Old World, mostly just to play with some of the guys down in the club that have Old World armies on the go, so hopefully it's not a great deal of difference to what we're used to, but we'll have a go at that and see how it goes. But thinking it's mostly going to be Lord of the Rings, hopefully. Going forward, we've also got a book called One Shot Wonders, which the boys have already been getting into. It's just like a couple of RPG, it's like 100 one-shot adventures for RPGs that you can just sort of browse that for ideas, and they've been picking through those, and we've already had a wee game on the go with a battle maps book that we've got as well. So looking forward to some more of those. The boys are sort of interested to see what can be mucked around with those, so we've been enjoying some wee roleplay games. And I've also got a new microphone, so hopefully the sound quality is good, and I am looking to, I've been writing stuff for years, and I'm looking to maybe have a go at narrating some of that. So we'll see how that goes. Figure I may as well steady everybody, just for accountability purposes, to make myself do it. I'm running out of excuses now, so I just have to get on with it. So that's what's wild. So yes, looking forward to hearing what everybody else is working on coming up in the new year. We'll talk to you all again soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's Luke here, or Tramp from the Discord. I thought I would respond to this because I wanted to talk about my year with Warhammer. This year was the year of the dwarf for me. I've just about finished up painting my dwarf army, and someone posted about the Misfire tournament that was going to be taking place at Nottingham in November time. Because I'd got my dwarf army, I really wanted to get her out on the tabletop, and I wanted to get it all working, looking nice, and, you know, use them. So in preparation for that, I've had quite a few games of Warhammer 5th Edition. In fact, I've had 9 games of Warhammer 5th Edition. I've also had 9 losses, which I think is part of the learning curve. And I think there's a skill to putting a list together. But you know, it's all been good fun, and I've enjoyed it. Unfortunately, when it actually came to the Misfire event, the day it was planned for, I could have made, but then it got moved back and it fell on the point where me and my partner had a baby, or had our baby. So I couldn't go because I was otherwise occupied. Yeah, since then, my hobby time has been a little bit restricted, and I've not been able to do as much as I'd like to do, but I guess I've been doing other things instead. I still think about the hobby a lot, and I'm still buying just as much stuff as I was beforehand. So I just have more miniatures in my pile of shame. The last thing I ordered was some dwarf organ guns. I thought they'd go well in my ranks, because, you know, a dwarf army needs to have some firepower, doesn't it? These are from a range called the Landsket, and they were from Macrocosm, who I got some slayers from. But when I looked on the site, they're out of stock, so I messaged the owner and I spoke to him, but he was saying that he'd broke his arm earlier in this year, and he'd had to sell the molds for his range to a different company to make ends meet. So I bought them from the alternative site, but it's a shame because they seem quite good, but I think they'll fit in well to my army. Next year, I'll hope to sort of catch up with my miniatures. I'd like to finish off my dwarfs completely. And then I've got some orcs and goblins, which I've been buying recently, which I'm hoping to put together something, but that'll be time permitting. Looking forward to hear what everyone else has got to say and how everyone else's year has gone. And I hope you all have a happy new year. See you later. Bye.
Hi, Matthew. It's George here. George Paints on Discord and Old Hammer and Tongs over on YouTube. So the Old World Army Challenge kicks off on the 1st of January. The challenge is that you paint an army over the course of 6 months from January through to the end of June. And you're meant to do a minimum of sort of 10 models a month, around sort of 1,000, 1,500 points if you're into your points. So yeah, the great thing about this challenge is that it forces you to do stuff. And so basically I tend to procrastinate and not do enough hobby-wise because of all the other bloody things in life. But the challenge forces me to do it. And over the last couple of weeks, that has been a brilliant example of it. I'm working on a Rogue Trader Imperial Guard army inspired by John Blanche's amazing artwork for that plastic box set that came out in 1989. It's just sort of rank upon rank of guardsmen marching slowly towards the enemy with banners fluttering in the wind. So yeah, working on an army based on that. I've got over 100 minis I'm planning to paint, lots and lots of plastic guardsmen, quite a few of the original Imperial Army guardsmen. I think Ali Morrison sculpted a lot of them, so they've got that brilliant kind of comic book vibe that he was really good at. Then some of the Mark Copplestone Les miniatures that came out a bit later, and he did some great guardsmen, some really good command unit figures. and a few cheeky proxies thrown in for good measure. Sasai Miniatures do some great ones. So I've been building up this army over many, many months. And it has been a bit of a brilliant community effort, because I put a shout out on one of the Old Hammer trading groups on Facebook earlier this year, and loads of people stepped up. An amazing guy, Orca, I think you pronounce it, based in the Netherlands, sent me a bunch of minis for a ridiculously reasonable price. Really lovely guy called Glyn, who it turns out lives really quite close to me in South London. He sold me a full set of 36 minis for very little, and various other people stepped up. And one of my fellow challengers, Graham, sent me several minis just a couple of weeks ago. So it's been wonderful having everyone kind of chipping in like that. And I suddenly realized about a week ago that I was very behind. The rules of the challenge are that you're allowed to have prepared and primed your minis ahead of 1st of January. And it's generally recommended you do that so you're not eating into your precious painting time. So I suddenly realized I need to do a lot of paint stripping, because many of the minis are just coated in old paint and glue and all sorts, including those from my own childhood collection, which are just covered in thick enamel paint. So I've been very busy with the paint stripper, which has been very effective. So I'm glad to say I've not destroyed too many brain cells doing that, I hope. And then stuck a load of them in the freezer overnight, which makes the glue all brittle, and then broke them all down so that arms and las guns and heads came off, and then started priming the other night. So I'm just about back on schedule. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait. Something to look forward to in 2026. And I will be bombarding the Discord with updates. And also I'm putting videos up on my YouTube channel. So if you do want to pop over and have a look at Old Hammer and Tongs, you can hear my dulcet tones going on and on about how much I love Rogue Trader and Imperial Guard. So thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to hearing everyone else's updates. Thank you, Matthew, for your brilliant podcast. Another great year, and Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. Callum, aka Dr. Spork here. As I am sure will be echoed by a few others amongst you, December was a difficult hobby month. It always is. Nevertheless, there was painting, sculpting, and playing, and plans concocted for the year ahead. Firstly, I have just literally now put the finishing touches to my Snotling pump wagon, completing my December pledge for the Call of the Crown, so that's another month done. Quite pleased with that. I've also managed to release a couple of designs, my own take on some old elven scenery, and some very old-school sci-fi gun platforms. And for gaming? Well, I think as you already know, I had the pleasure of a visit to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast Dungeon for a game of Hobgoblin with Matthew. Looking to the year ahead, I've got a little siege campaign to organise. I've got to run my first demo game of Space Weirdos. I hope you're proud of me, Ed. And it seems next month I'll be painting my orc Wyvern. I was gently nudged into that by someone. You know who you are. No idea what my plans are on the 3D printing front, so that'll be a nice surprise for everyone, including me. And I can't wait to hear everybody else's hobby progress. And I wish you all Happy New Year. I'll see you there.
Hi, Matthew and everybody. It's Martin here in Hampshire, Martin S on the Discord. A little update on my hobby progress, as requested, and as is traditional, it's very late. Well, December has been quite quiet on the painting and gaming front, slowed down around Christmas for all the usual reasons, but a few projects on the go. One current project is to retouch and rebase a large haul of 15mm biblical era figures I picked up from eBay. There's Syrians, Canaanites, and Philistines and such like, plus a few Greek hoplites. They're in very good condition, but need some base work and a few bent spears sorted out and stuff like that. That's on the go. I'm also reworking a rescued eBay haul of 28mm fantasy figures. Men, wolves, cultists, and the like. That's pretty much finished. That's been going on for a while, and that's good. Planning ahead, I've got two games of Dragon Rampant coming up, 28mm Dragon Rampant being played against two different players at the Farnborough Club. I'm not sure which armies I'll use for that. I've got a couple of choices. I've got my Wizards and Lizards and also some Medievals, which sub quite nicely for a Dragon Rampant army. And also I need to do some painting for a tournament coming up in the Peak District in early February. It's a 15mm DBA tournament, and I need some extra figures to make a Uyghur army. The theme for this one is armies from the steppes, and the Uyghur at the time were steppe people from around the western edge of China, apparently. So I'm trying to make an army up for that. I'm hoping that I can drop into Jason's and Mark's mega game in a couple of weeks, but looking at the logistics of that at the moment, not sure if that's going to be a possibility. But meantime, just say Happy New Year to everyone, and thanks for all the work you do, Matthew, and have a good one. Cheers now.
Greetings, Matthew, and everyone listening. It's Mark Snackawolf from the Discord. It was a good hobby month. We played our game of Mantic Epic Warpath, which was a fun time. I'm enjoying painting them, too. Currently still on my orange and blue Orc Marauders for that system, using contrast paints and Army Painter speed paints for a good part of the model. Many of you know can pull on the flat tank armor and surfaces, but a trick I learned to remedy that pooling is to do a final dry brush over the whole model, kind of tone down any splotchy areas. The color I used over the orange and black was Xandri Dust, inspired by a YouTube content creator called War Hipster. He uses a unifying dry brush over his Hill Tribesmen from the Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game tutorial, and it ties them together really well. His tutorial videos are called Contrast Plus, if interested. They're fantastic. I'm ready for 2026. I will continue my tracking system in January. I list what I paint once a unit or model is done, and I assign points per completed model using base size and detail as a measuring criteria. So a 28mm base is 1 point, a 40mm painted model base is 3 points, etc. All the way up to 10 points for like large creatures like giants, terrains, things like that. Any model, if given extra care, can have its points earned doubled to reflect that. So heroes, RPG characters, anything that took far longer to do than normal. I finished exactly 150 of these hobby points last year. That was 74 minis and pieces total. My goal in 2026 is 200 points, and it's more than a bit of an increase, but I found this has been a really accurate way to measure my progress and capacity. It's quite fun. I'm excited to see how I do, and most importantly, just have a good time along the way. I'm wishing all of you many dice rolled and brushes cleaned in the new year. Cheers from Central California.
Hello, Matthew. Hello, Bedroom Battlefields crew. This is James, and checking in for the final moments of 2025. It's been an interesting year. Lots of painting, many, many projects started, many half completed. In fact, I think the only thing that I have fully painted this year has been my Dalak gang for Necromunda 95. And my Viking warband for Pillage. Still have yet to get that onto the table in earnest, but that will definitely be a thing for January. The most transformative thing this year has been the acquisition of a Bamboo A1 FDM printer. It's pretty wild how many things you can think of to make when you can make it with one of them. I have 3D printed painting handles. I have a brush holder so that the bristles are facing downwards and they dry out that way. I've made painting handles for my sons, who have started to paint everything and paint far faster than I can. They've painted everything that I got them for Christmas, with the exception of some of the terrain. And together, the three of us, with my daughter as well, have started a little gaming club at home. We're deciding on what we're going to be prepping every month to play the following month. So this month I've been printing out tons of terrain from the excellent Hexengard range on my mini factory for Mordheim. We're going to be playing that in January. Though I will say that the Mordheim rules might be a little bit complicated for them initially. So we're going to be playing a bit of Mordheim, but we're also going to be playing Arkworld from Warp Miniatures, which looks fun, pretty straightforward rules-wise, and the models are fantastic. I'm painting them up right now. They meet all that I require in a model, being metal, characterful. Yeah, they're great, especially the halflings, but the vampire will serve for both Arkworld and for Mordheim, since it's an undead warband that I'll be working on. Looking forward to a new year and many new projects. We had a meeting of the game club, and next month is going to be playing Mordheim and prepping for Warhammer 40K 3rd edition. It's going to be fun. I wish you all a very happy new year and all the best.
Well, hello. Happy holidays and happy new year, everybody. This is Darren Narad on the Discord, calling in from rainy California with my year 2025 wrap-up. First of all, really enjoyed the podcast and the community through the year. It's been very inspiring and full of positivity. I really like it. And so what did I get done this year? Well, kind of a year of two halves. The first half, first 6 months, I spent painting up and playing a dwarf army for Old World. I painted a whole bunch of Oathmark miniatures, about 80 or so, for an escalation league at a local club store. And so I got a taste of playing Warhammer, finally. First time in my life, really. About, half a dozen or more games. Discovering that it's kind of a bit tedious for me. I don't really like the game that much. But I loved painting all these miniatures. I got ended up with, looks like about 80-ish soldiers. I painted up like the Old World Dwarf King on the shield. And also I ended up doing some artillery for the first time. I ended up with recently painted, got a couple cannons. I've got three ballista, two catapults now, another third one unpainted. Anyway, so that's pretty good. Also painted up a brick of Oathmark elf soldiers, some elf archers, finished some really old Warhammer Seaguard, Elven Seaguard, Oathmark goblins, about 15 of those, and then some very smattering of things, some stuff for the Dungeon Saga board game and other board games, and a couple of fun little things. Probably my highlight was painting up a big squig with a goblin on it. Like, there's a Warhammer model that was really cool, and I watched like a Monument Hobbies how to blend video, and then did that with the squig, with pink, kind of purple and pink, and I really love how it came out. So anyway, so miniature painting has been fun. The first 6 months I was really focused, and then the last 6 months not so much. I slowed down my painting a lot and didn't really have a mission anymore, a goal. I ended up playing a game of Oathmark with the guy using these dwarves and some others, and we really liked it and talked about maybe getting a campaign together, but then I kind of dropped the ball ever since. I kind of couldn't think of like what my kingdom would be, and That's something I'd like to do in the new year, is like, is kind of start up a little sporadic Oathmark campaign. I got to come up with an idea for my kingdom, and then that'll help plan what I want to paint in the new year. Yeah, that's a little bit of just a thing. I've just been very unfocused. What do I have on the table? I have, I got a set of Old World Beastmen, 30 of them, that I want to start painting. I'm excited about those. Those are really cool looking. A bunch more Oathmark elves and goblins to do. And I'm finishing up some old, very old Chaos Marauders, pretty bad sculpts, super muscle man. So my goals for 2026 for painting are, I'd like to, do those guys on the table that I have right now. And then I just work through backlog, I think, is my main thing. There's a couple of board games. I want to finish the Dungeon Saga board game. I actually remember I've got like a whole second set of HeroQuest that's unpainted that I'd like to paint, the old original one. And I've been meaning to for years and years paint up the tiny figures for the War of the Ring board game. I've got a friend who I think will play it, but I'd like to have it painted for that. Those are my painting goals. But, I got about 230 painted this year, which is a lot. I've been more or less doing that, between that and like 300 for the last like 4 or 5 years. So I'm pretty stacked on miniature. I'm having fun. I think my goal for 2026 is to play more. I'd like to try to play this Oathmark campaign. I kind of like that system better than Old World, I think. New second edition coming out this year will probably spark that. And then I'd like to get back to playing some more D&D. It's kind of my first love. And my 6-year-old son has been getting a little more into it lately over this holiday break. We've played a couple of times. My best holiday present was actually just a spiral down pad of engineering notebook graph paper. And I drew up a couple of dungeons, and my son has explored those. And then he drew a map, and I explored his. So I'm looking for more D&D with the kids in the new year as they become old enough. And I'd love to actually get a game going again online, like I used to have when the kids were younger. I got this amazing D&D campaign game book set Kickstarter this last month, called Dolmenwood. I've been waiting for it for years and years, and I'd love to kind of start up a real campaign with it. So anyway, that's what's going on. Sorry if this is long and rambling, but wish everybody the best in the new year. Keep on trucking with all that stuff, and keep painting. And thanks, Matthew, for setting all this up and continuing the thoroughly enjoyable podcast. Cheers.
Hello, everybody. This is Stuart from Hampshire calling with my hobby update for the month. Not much gaming has happened for me this month. I managed to fit in a game of Frostgrave with my good friend Joel. We did a scenario which involves climbing up a pyramid, which meant that I got to get out some really good terrain that I bought recently from Crooked Dice. They kind of look like Tetris blocks. They're supposed to be dungeon walls, and they can be fitted together to create like a pyramid for this scenario, or for generic sort of risers for buildings when you want a bit more 3D to a battlefield, like in Mordheim or something like that. So I'm looking forward to using those more and more. In terms of hobbying, I've got 5 miniatures painted this month. Chaos Knights Cavalry, as part of an Oldhammer Chaos Warriors project, as part of the Call of the Crown Challenge, which I know lots of you are participating in. I'm always really, really interested to see what people do for that every month. My army is a Chaos Warriors army. What I'm trying to do is paint every miniature in the army different from the one standing next to it, which started as a fantastic idea. I think I've massively underestimated how much time it takes, but it's still very enjoyable. I really enjoy to do the best job that I can with it. And I've really appreciated lots of encouragement from people online as well. I think that external validity is very important to me. And this is the first time that I've done a kind of paint an army, pledge a unit per month challenge. And it's been fantastic for my output. And I expect I'll carry on doing them after this. As for this army, why did I choose to do cavalry chaos? It came about, the inspiration came about from summer when I attended Bring Out Your Lead, and I came to see all of those beautiful display miniatures. That will continue this month with a unit of demons, Blood Letters of Khorne, the old big beefy 2000 ones, the ones that look a bit like Satan from South Park. So I'm looking forward to painting them, although they're all going to be the same colour, so that'll be a nice change of pace. I've also got a big ugly lump of lead to paint, which I'm aiming to get done in time for Jason's big narrative game in January, which I'm really looking forward to. It's a big Trish Carden Manticore. I'll probably overestimate its effectiveness on the battlefield. It's the curse of the newly painted miniature, isn't it? You put time and effort into painting it, and then it gets nailed by a cannon in the first round. So, you know, looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to hearing about everybody else's hobby progress as well. Thanks a lot for the podcast, Matthew. It's one of my favourites. Happy New Year, everybody.
Massive thanks to everyone who submitted a clip throughout the month of December. And if you want to get your clip in towards the end of this month, January 2026, or any month for that matter, you could do so by heading over to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. That's bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. There's a wee record button there. You could record your clip directly on the website, or there's also details on how to email it to me as well. So I guess I should chip in with some of my own hobby updates. So just coming off the back of the holidays there, had some really good time with the family over the last couple of weeks. Nice Christmas, nice New Year, but no painting time at all, which I'm kind of, you know, as much as you enjoy this family time and this really social time, you kind of start to get this itch for the quiet solitude of the painting table. So I never really nipped away and did paint. I felt a wee bit antisocial doing that, but I really felt it like starting to sort of claw at me. Like I've got that, I wouldn't describe myself as an introvert, but I've got that part of me that is, and you know, I really like to be able to be working away on stuff. I find painting so rewarding. It's just one angle of, you know, why I do it, but I'm really itching to get back to painting, especially because I did get some new miniatures for Christmas. My wife and daughter very kindly got me the Thundercats baddies, so it's like Monkey and Jackalman, Vulture Man, Slythe and Mumra in his two iterations as well. So I've already got the Thundercats themselves. These are all crooked dice, by the way. So I've now got the bad guys ready to go, and I'm going to get these two warbands together, and I'm looking at open combat, which is a rule system I really like. So I'm going to start up the two warbands and get a couple of B games of open combat as soon as I've got them all painted up. But before I get to those, I've got my Human Blood Bowl team to finish. So I would say that's about 60% done. I've called them the Mordheim Double Glazing Company for no other reason than I thought it was quite a funny name. But I've got a really nice colour scheme that I've settled on for them. It's pink, yellow and black, so quite flamboyant colours, and I kind of like the way they pop without doing too much to them as well. So yeah, that's the team from the, was it 1994, Blood Bowl, whatever edition came out. That was the one I had. So I've still got these human players, a lot of them anyway, and supplemented them with a couple of wee star players too. So that'll be my third Blood Bowl team. And you know, this is the last project where I feel like I'm painting. I wouldn't quite describe this as batch painting because it's just like 12 or 13 guys. But over the past like couple of years, I was building those three armies in 15 mil, those big regiment based armies. So there was a lot of batch painting and repetition and stuff like that. And when I look at I would say the 40 or so miniatures, once I've got this Blood Bowl team out the way, 40 or so miniatures lined up ready to paint this year, and they're all like, they're all completely different, or not completely different necessarily, but they're all different. I would class them all as individuals. So as much as I know a lot of you love painting challenges and they sound really great, but I've never been one to set like goals or challenges or stuff. But I am kind of thinking, you know, if I could set this semi-goal, if you like, if that's even a word, of just painting maybe 3 miniatures a week. I know that's hardly super ambitious, but that would maybe give me that sense of progression as well. You know, I do like feeling like I'm getting through things, but I don't like to describe my to-do list as like a backlog or that. I think it has kind of negative connotations, and I do, as much as I'm painting to play, I'm also painting for painting's sake as well. So it's, I don't see it as something to chew through. You know, painting, there's always those projects where you do arrive at certain points where it is a bit of a slog and it's necessary, but in the main, you know, I find it a pleasant pastime. So it's not so much that I'm looking to just burn through this as just enjoy it, but at the same time, that feeling of progression is obviously very rewarding. So I've got my Thundercats to do. I've also got my Masters of the Universe guys. So it's She-Ra and her entourage. They're really cool plastic minis that I've put together. So they're all sitting there primed up. And then I've got some Chaos Space Marines as well. I've got Spork's Orcs. I've got 4 Orcs put together by the great Dr. Spork himself. He very kindly gifted me those just before Christmas when we met up to play Hobgoblin. So they'll go really well in my Labyrinth Warband. I've got like a lot of sort of Kev Adams goblins led by a 3D printed Jareth from the Labyrinth. So I'll put them into that wee warband and they'll fit in there quite nicely. So the holidays were nice and busy with the family. Like I say, I didn't get any time to do any painting. I did get time to play some games. Unfortunately, not miniature games. Like I had just got my wife into Blood Bowl and she seemed to be enjoying it. And I had planned to get a few games of that in. But a friend of ours bought us a game, just a board game, not a miniatures game, called Takenoko. It's not a new game. I think it was released like 10 or 15 years ago. But it's just a really good board game, and we played that a couple of times and really enjoyed it. So we've played that quite a lot over the holidays, and that has like the downside of that is Blood Bowl's had to take a back seat for now, because the times that we would have played Blood Bowl, we were playing Takenoko instead. But I really do like that board game. We also got one from another friend, and this was for the wee one, but we've been playing it a lot as well. It's called I Want My Teeth Back, and I think this was made by the folks behind Exploding Kittens, but a really, really good fun family board game that you could play with pretty young kids. You know, I think 4 and up was the age on it. It's very easy to kind of understand the rules, and the games are fast as well, which certainly suits the short attention span of my daughter. So I'm sure a few of you listening out there are in the same boat. So yeah, I Want My Teeth Back and Takenoko. That's the two board games that I've been playing over the holidays. But unfortunately, no Blood Bowl. We'll have to remedy that soon, I reckon. But as myself and Callum had alluded to earlier on, there was a game of Hobgoblin earlier on in December, and in true Bedroom Battlefield style, we did a little post-match analysis with the mics after the game itself. So the scenario was Dick's Last Stand, a human force led by the man himself, Lord Marshal Dick Longfellow, holding out against a massive alliance of Orc and Chaos forces commanded by Dr. Spork. So let's find out how it went, starting with Callum's one sentence summary of my performance.
Dick flopped fairly early on, it's another good game of Hobgoblin. So I'm looking forward to hopefully some more in the future, and very nice playing with your beautifully painted army and scenery. It's very nice to see. You must be proud of that.
Yeah, definitely to get it all. To get it all laid out, because we did play the last time with the humans versus the greenskins.
Yeah.
And we've added the chaos army here. So you were taking what I like to call battle masters chaos. You took charge of the chaos / orcs and goblins.
Yeah.
And you did retain that kind of split, like the way I'd laid them out. And you were entitled to change it up, but you kind of had the chaos on the right and then the
orcs and goblins on the left. And yeah, I mean, you got forward just as quick as you could, didn't you? You had that berserker keyword in a few of your units, so you had to keep moving them forward at all points, didn't you?
Yeah, I think my deployment phase was basically figuring out who moves faster and then just staggering all of the units so that the faster ones got there first. So yeah, I didn't have a lot of ranged weaponry, and it wasn't very good anyway. So yeah, it was best just to kind of get in a combat where it turns out your guys were pretty tough.
Yeah, a lot of good keywords in there, like my foot knights. They did a fair old bit of damage, although they fluffed their lines towards the end, mind.
They held the middle of that battlefield till nearly the end of the game.
Yeah.
With a lot of stuff, because they only had your bowmen keeping their flanks.
Mm-hmm.
And they folded after a turn or two. And then the knights were kind of getting mobbed. But mm-hmm. they still, I think they kind of held, I mean, are we going to say spoilers about the final part of this game? It was a draw. And I think the knights held it to a draw.
What are some of the key moments then? I mean, obviously you got forward as quick as you could, started getting in about it, and you're the leader of your chaos side of the army. It's Baron Gibb on Witherspoon the Manticore. So he flew in right over everyone's head, jumped down and attacked poor old Dick Longfellow, didn't he? Right in front of the castle gates.
Went straight for Dick. Couldn't resist it.
And Dick, did he kill him in one go, or did it take him a couple of goes?
I think it was two turns, but it was nearly gone in one. Because your guy, I think if it had not been for the fact that your guys had been basically buffed with their extra courage, so it took a lot more damage than my guys did,
mm-hmm.
It would have been one turn wiped out. I think he took 11 doom. Normally you've got 10 courage, which means you can take 10 doom. And I gave him 11 doom in one turn with Baron Gibb, who is a lovely model you've done there as well. It was quite fun to see on the table.
Yeah, no, it's he's a good leader of that little force, and yeah, good to see him heavily involved. And then of course we had that moment where we had a couple of waves of this, like big cascade of doom in the doom phase, where you've taken out one unit, but that has a knock-on effect. It's essentially like a panic rule in Warhammer, isn't it? But you were getting these, like, the doom phase. You were adding, you know, a point here, a point here, a point here, and there was these little waves spreading throughout the whole armies.
Well, that was kind of how the game pretty much ended. There was a little bit of tidying up afterwards, wasn't it, with that second wave of doom, where basically just because I had so many units
mm-hmm.
all go, it meant that, I mean, I had like three or four units go, and it just pushed another three or four over the edge, which then dragged another couple with them. And I was left with a handful of units. But at the same time, I had just managed to wipe out pretty much all of the main force of your army. So they kind of just collapsed in on each other.
Yeah.
It's quite an interesting way this game works. It's not, I think, because everything happens at the same time, and because at the end of your turn, you figure out who's dead. No one leaves the board until the end of the turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like that, because if it's not your initiative, you might get a lot of guys killed, but they're still going to have the chance to reply before they get removed.
It was grand. And we did a little bit of tidying up at the end, but actually there's something we should talk about, the guest star.
Yeah, so I had 9 units in total. So I think we agreed that once I went under 50%, we would introduce reinforcements in the shape of Giant Jeff. So
sure. We're
playing in 15 mil scale. So I've got my Jeff Wizard in 28. So he walked through the gate and went straight for the Baron, didn't he?
He did, yeah. The Baron standing over the corpse of Dick Longfellow.
Stiff Dick, lad.
A rapidly stiffening Dick, yes. and Jeff saw this, and there was just one thing that he wanted to do, and that was seek revenge We had Manticore versus Giant Jeff in the most bedroom battlefield encounter possible.
Symbolic. And I mean, Jeff, he was eventually killed killed / he just vanished back into the portal and disappeared. What actually happened to him? Was it another cascaded?
It was. Him and Baron Gibb basically pretty much killed each other.
Mm-hmm.
He wiped out Baron Gibb handily, and then Baron Gibb took him close to death. And then, yeah, as part of the Doom Cascade, I think the death of your dwarf unit from Great Uncle Ian did in Jeff as well. He just despaired at what he saw in front of him, and as you say, vanished back into the ether.
Yeah, job done.
Job done, yeah.
And there was in the end just four units left on their feet, wasn't there? You've got your Beastmen, your Plague Bearers, your Orcs, and your Giant Orcs.
Yeah.
So.
Not enough to. I think we agreed not enough to kind of sack the town, but enough to go down the pub.
Yeah. So they've got a few pints now.
They've taken over the inn for the evening before they're going to trot off to find another fight somewhere else. No, it was great. Thank you for inviting me along.
No, thank you for coming through, and thanks for the kind presence as well. You got me a little, you made me a little watchtower, was it, in 15 mil scale?
Yeah, it's a couple of my prints. I printed them off a couple of my designs. There's a high elf tower and the fantasy watchtower.
Does this mean I'll have to start an elf army?
Don't feel you have to. You can always do something different with it. It doesn't need to be high elf. It's just stuff that I had. So, but yeah, print them off 50% scale. So it should be good for your 15 mil figures.
Little bag of orcs in there.
Yeah, my own sculpts.
And a nice, is it purple?
I'd say purple, purple makeup sponge for painting your 3D prints with.
Or just makeup, if I want to do that so over the Christmas holidays.
You're going for the video podcast next, is it?
I think as much as the forces were numerically unbalanced, just really buffing the humans made it pretty even, didn't it? So,
well, that extra 15, the extra 5 courage, which made, you basically had 50% more health.
Yeah, it's like having loads of units, isn't it? Loads more units.
Well, it meant that where I would have, when I went in your crossbowman with a unit of orcs and a giant orc, those crossbowmen would have been flat in one turn.
Yeah.
But they delayed chunks of my army for another turn, whilst the tougher bits of your army went laid into mine. And at the end of the day, it came out pretty balanced. There wasn't a lot of my army left after I'd wiped yours out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we talked about this during the play. Maybe your knights got a bit distracted trying to come round the back of my army.
Yeah, definitely.
Whereas actually they were doing some. Once they got into combat, they were doing some brutal damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe if they just kind of cut into the flank straight away, you might have actually kind of turned the tide.
Yeah, I almost wonder about in future, and I'll ask you in a sec what you might have done differently, but thinking about my deployment, I know the listener can't see this, but if I had deployed the knights at the both flanks facing across the table, mm-hmm, rather than down it, so inevitably at a certain point they're just going to be presented with a flank on a unit and just go in and cause chaos.
And with the rules, it's actually difficult to deal with a unit on your flank.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're
knocks your courage down, doesn't it?
It knocks your courage down, but also reduces the amount of attacks. You can only do 5 attacks rather than 10.
Yeah.
That's kind of normal amount of attacks. On a unit on your flank, or even on your rear, if you put one in the rear, which, you know, with all that extra movement, you've got the kind of space to do it. So, yeah.
So, what, if anything, might you have done differently in terms of both deployment and the way you work your way forward?
There was a bit of a guddle in the middle because I had so many units that they kind of, as soon as they hit into your front line, it was then trying to kind of, I spent like my plague bearers and my general, grab him. He didn't get into the fight until pretty much the last turn.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was units that didn't get utilized properly where they could have been just because there wasn't space for them. So it would be just thinking a bit more about where I'm putting things and moving things. Like my Beastman Cavalry got caught up, and because they had the Berserk one, if they're not charging around the place, then they take damage basically. So yeah, they took three, and that would have made a difference at the end of that cascade. Because if they'd still had that three damage, they wouldn't have died, and the cascade wouldn't have happened in the same way. It's lots of little things. If things just change a little bit, the game can go a very different way with this game. But at the same time, it seems to be pretty, we've only played a couple of games, but it seems to be really nicely balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
What about you then? What would you have done differently?
I'd maybe have got myself into more of a tortoise shell around that middle. Definitely would have used my knights more effectively. Like you're saying, I was trying to get away into your half and turn round the back and back again, and that's, you're kind of wasting, you're wasting time. But yeah, I might have got tighter at that wall, bought myself a bit more time, maybe an extra shooting phase without any close combat. But yeah, with that said, like, with the power of those foot knights and even the dwarves, it made sense to get them stuck in as soon as possible, because they did a fair bit of damage. So I also mistakenly left Dick Longfellow and Grabham as light cavalry, which is a faux pas on my part. I think they would have been better as heavy, just because they were the bosses. But
yeah, it'd be good to make them a bit tougher. That's probably
why
he got...
They were both easily killed, weren't they?
Yeah. They both pretty much got one round of combat.
Yeah.
Against tough opponents, but... Yeah, I think maybe buffing them a bit more. You don't necessarily need to make them tougher in a fight, but make them less easy to actually kill.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to make them particularly vicious, because they, in theory, they, well, I suppose Grabham might be, because, yeah, he's an Orc War boss, whereas Dick Longfellow is probably just some posh git.
Yeah, well, he was.
If you're one of those kind-hearted people who tips their servers, taxi drivers and bar staff, how about tipping your favourite podcaster too? And if you've any money left after that, how about tipping me? If you appreciate the work that goes into putting this show together, or if this episode's simply helping you to pass the time whilst you work, drive or paint, then you could leave a little something by going to bedroombattlefields.com/tip. That's bedroombattlefields.com/TIP. And now, back to the show.
Huge thanks to Callum for coming through. I really enjoyed that game of Hobgoblin, and I'm looking forward to the next one. There's lots of pictures of the battle. I've put them up on Bedroom Battlefield, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes, and you could check them out yourself. I'll also be sticking a wee video on YouTube showing off that tower that I got from Callum, that really cool old hammer tower. I've painted that up now, so it's a nice centrepiece for the battlefield. And I've created some doom markers for Hobgoblin as well, so I'm going to post a link to the video just showing them off. They're very, very simple wee things, just basically a ball of air drying clay with a cocktail stick and a label in it. They look like wee flags, but I really like the way they look overall, rather than like we're just lying dice on the table as it is, and they end up getting mixed up with the dice you're rolling, and it doesn't look aesthetically very good having all those D12s and D20s strewn all over the table. So yeah, some new doom slash wound markers for Hobgoblin as well. I'll put a link in the show notes as soon as that video goes live. And that is really it. Like I say, just itching to get back to the painting table now, get this Blood Bowl team finished and crack on with the Thundercats. My daughter's mad for the Thundercats now. I've unleashed a monster there. I showed her the DVD box set about 6 months ago, and she's never stopped watching it since. So, big Thundercats fan. I did a bit of digging online, and it looks like there's a film rumoured to be, like a live action film rumoured to be in development, but I couldn't really find any more than that. So, I mean, if the stars aligned and we got some blockbuster Thundercats film in the summer of 2026, that would be perfect. But if not, I'll be resorting to homemade costumes and 3D prints and expensive eBay purchases. So yeah, Thundercats ho and all that. And that is it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Just one more time, if you want to submit a clip for what you're up to in January, head on over to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail and record it in there. And yeah, that is it. Thanks as always for listening. I really do appreciate it. Make sure you're subscribed or following on whatever app you use to consume the show. And we'll catch up again on the next one.